You ever get that weird feeling, like you know someone's in the room with you, even though you're completely alone? It's like something out of a horror movie, right?
Totally sends chills down your spine. But you know what? Turns out there's actually a name for that.
Yeah.
It's called felt presence. And believe it or not, it's not just the stuff of ghost stories.
Really? So we're not talking our actual ghosts here.
No, not at all. We're talking about a real phenomenon that scientists are studying. In fact, there was this super interesting review published in the Lancet Psychiatry Journal recently. It dives deep into why people experience this and what's happening in their brains when they do.
Okay, so this felt presence, it's that feeling of someone being there, even when you know logically that no one is. But, I mean, isn't that just like an overactive imagination?
It's definitely more than that. See, the review, it actually points out that this feeling of a presence is reported by people all over the world in all different cultures, going way back in time. It's way more common than you'd think.
Wow, okay, so not just me then. But what exactly are we talking about when we say felt presence? What does it actually
Yeah.
feel like? Because I'm picturing like a full-on ghostly apparition, but I'm guessing it's not always like that.
You're right, it's not always a ghostly figure. It can be really different for different people. Some people, they describe it as a comforting feeling, you know, like sensing the presence of someone they loved who has passed away. While others, it's totally the opposite. Unpleasant, even scary, like they're being watched or there's a shadowy figure lurking nearby.
Oh man, that's giving me the creeps just thinking about it.
Right.
You know, it's funny you mentioned this. It reminded me of that line in Moby Dick, you know, where it talks about a supernatural hand and a nameless, unimaginable, silent form or phantom. Maybe not the best example for broad daylight, haha. But seriously, I do remember the review talking about how these experiences can be all over the map.
Oh, absolutely. Some people, they'll give you very specific details. Like they can tell you exactly where the presence is standing, what it looks like. But then others, they just have this vague feeling, like an awareness that something else is there, but they can't quite put their finger on it. And the identity of the presence, that can be just as varied. Sometimes it's someone they recognize, like a deceased relative. Other times it's this undefined energy, for lack of a better word.
So you could have a clear image of, say, your grandmother standing next to you, or it could be more like a feeling, like a sixth sense that something's there.
Exactly. In the review, it actually gave this one example. This person described this invisible presence that they felt was like trying to get into their head and influence their thoughts, which is kind of wild when you think about it.
Okay, yeah, that is getting into some seriously spooky territory, which actually makes me wonder, how in the world do scientists even begin to study something like this? I mean, it seems so personal, so subjective.
That's the million-dollar question, right? And you hit the nail on the head. It's one of the biggest challenges in this field. It's not like we can just, you know, hook someone up to a machine and measure felt presence directly. So researchers, they have to get creative. They rely on a couple of main things. First, they listen to what people are actually experiencing, those subjective reports. And second, they use more objective measurements, things like brain imaging studies, to try to get a peek inside what's happening in the brain during these experiences.
Okay, so you've got the subjective, what people are telling you they feel, and then the objective, trying to find something measurable, like brain activity, that correlates with those feelings.
Right. And when you put those two together, it starts to paint a fascinating picture. We're just beginning to understand what might actually be going on in the brain during these felt presence experiences. It's like, how do I explain this? Imagine trying to figure out how a watch works, but you can only look at the outside. You need to open it up, right? You need to see all those tiny gears and springs and how they work together.
Okay, I'm with you. So, how do we open up the brain to see what's making this felt presence tick?
Well, that's where research on different neurological conditions comes in. Things like Parkinson's disease, epilepsy, even brain
I'm
lesions.
talking about studying people who already have these conditions that affect the brain
Yeah.
to see if there's a connection.
Exactly. And what's really cool is that sometimes when certain parts of the brain are affected by these conditions, it can actually trigger experiences of felt presence, even in people who've never felt it before.
Oh, wow. Okay. So it's like those specific brain regions are somehow involved in creating this feeling. And when they're not working properly, it's like accidentally flipping a switch to presence mode.
You got it. That's a great way to put it. And here's the thing, a lot of these brain regions, they all kind of work together, you know? They do things like keep track of where our body is in space, recognize familiar faces, even tell the difference between our own movements and someone else's.
So if these parts of the brain, the ones that help us understand our body and who's around us, if they get a little duck scrambled,
Yeah.
we might start feeling a presence that isn't actually there.
Bingo. You're getting it. Think of it this way. Imagine these brain areas are like a control panel. And this control panel, it helps us make sense of ourselves and our surroundings. Everything's running smoothly, the control panel's doing its job, no problem. But then something happens. Maybe it's a neurological condition, maybe it's extreme fatigue, could even be certain medications, and boom, the control panel gets a little glitchy.
A glitchy control panel. I like that analogy. Makes it easier to wrap my head around. And it makes sense, right? Our brains, they're taking in information from our senses constantly, trying to make sense of it all. Sometimes those signals, they get crossed. Like when you think you feel your phone vibrating in your pocket, but it's not. Or those optical illusions where your brain swears something's moving, but it's just a still image.
Yes, exactly. Our brains are always trying to fill in the blanks, find patterns, even when the information isn't totally clear.
And sometimes with this felt presence, the brain fills in those blanks with, well, another presence. Even though logically there's no one there, it's amazing. And honestly, a little creepy how our brains can do that.
Right. It shows you how powerful our brains really are. But it's not just about the biology, you know? Our personal experiences, what we believe, even our culture, all those things can influence how we experience and understand these feelings.
Okay, so we've got the biological side, the actual brain regions involved and how they can malfunction. But you're saying that our individual life experiences play a role too. How does that work? So it's like our brains come pre-wired with the potential for this felt presence thing, but then our own personal experiences, they kind of fine-tune it.
That's a great way to put it. And it can get really interesting. The review actually talks about this woman who had been experiencing a felt presence for years. Just this neutral feeling of someone being nearby didn't really bother her. But then her husband passed away. And after that, it was like that same presence. It took on a whole new meaning. She started to feel like it was him.
Wow. That's heartbreaking, but also really amazing when you think about it. It's like her grief, her missing her husband, it actually changed how her brain was interpreting this feeling that was already there.
It really shows you how connected our minds and bodies are, you know, and how our experiences can actually shape our perceptions, even on a physical level in the brain. And it's not just grief either. The review talks about how felt presence can be connected to all sorts of things like social anxiety, sleep paralysis, even just being super stressed out.
Okay, so if you're already dealing with anxiety, you're feeling isolated, your brain might be more susceptible to conjuring up a presence, even if it's not a particularly welcome one.
Yeah, it's like our brains are trying to fill a void. You know, we're social creatures, humans. And when we experience loneliness or isolation, it can trigger these ancient parts of our brains that are all about seeking connection, even if it means, you know, creating a presence that isn't really there.
So instead of just seeing an empty room, our brains are like, hey, wait a minute, you're not alone. There's someone here with you, which I guess could be comforting in some situations. But in other situations, depending on what your brain decides to cook up, it could be terrifying. This is all so fascinating. But it does make me wonder, where does the research go from here? What are the big unanswered questions about felt presence?
Oh, there's still so much we don't know. Like, one thing is we need better ways to measure it, to categorize the different types of felt presence. Because like we were talking about before, the experiences themselves can be so different. Is it visual? Is it just a feeling? Is it some undefined energy? Figuring out more precise ways to define those nuances, that's going to be huge for moving the research forward.
It's like trying to study a rainbow, but you don't have the words to describe all the different colors.
Exactly. And then there's the question of how felt presence relates to other kinds of hallucinations. Like, we know that people with schizophrenia, they sometimes experience hallucinations like seeing things or hearing voices. But how often does felt presence happen along with those other experiences? Do they affect each other? We're still trying to figure all of that out.
It's like a giant puzzle. And we've only just started to put a few pieces together.
Yeah.
But it's like this whole thing, it makes you think differently about consciousness, about reality itself. If our brains can create such real experiences, even when there's nothing actually there, what does that tell us about how we experience the world?
Big questions, right? And philosophers have been wrestling with them for centuries. But now, with all the advances in neuroscience, we're finally starting to get a handle on the actual biological stuff happening in our brains that might be behind these experiences. And, you know, who knows? Maybe someday we can even use this knowledge to help people who are struggling with felt presence, especially if it's causing them distress.
It's like we've opened this door to this whole new understanding of the brain, of perception, of what it means to be human, you know? So to everyone listening, if you've ever felt that chill, that feeling of someone being there when you know they can't be, just know you're not alone. This is something that's fascinated and mystified people forever.
Absolutely. And next time you hear a good ghost story, or maybe even if you just feel a presence yourself, think about it. It's this wild mix of biology, personal experience, maybe even a little bit of spooky mystery thrown in.
It reminds us that our brains are capable of incredible things, both wonderful and strange. And as we keep learning more about this felt presence, who knows what other surprises we'll uncover about the mysteries of the human mind. And hey, if you're interested in diving deeper into this whole thing, definitely check out that review article we mentioned. It's a really fascinating read. Well, that about wraps up our deep dive into the science of feeling like you're not alone. We'll be back next time with another look into, well, the human experience. Thanks for listening.